Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Open Floor. I'm Andrew Sharp, and in studio, going strong, Ben Golliver.
You know, we just took like five straight 20-second timeouts. You know, we took one.
We got some pizza.
We tried to come back for this third episode. We weren't ready. So we took another one, ate some pizza, took another one, got some extra caffeine.
Yeah.
And we're now ready to run our final play.
For those who don't know, normally we're on opposite sides of the country, and we are here for preseason meetings and just general housekeeping, and we decided to tack on a couple extra pods. It's turned into a festival of takes here.
We're going on hour four of the podcast, basically hour seven of debating the NBA. We're looking for our first agreement.
Yeah.
And maybe we'll find it in this last podcast.
A special shout out to Alan for hanging with us through this. But yeah, man, so basically what we decided to do for this last hour was we solicited questions from the rest of the NBA staff at Sports Illustrated. So we'll run through those.
Are these like serious questions, or are these like kind of...
Apparently they're all over the map. Haven't really had time to look at them. I have them here, so I'm getting an advanced look. We should say, if you enjoy this podcast, subscribe on iTunes. That's a big help. And any reviews, that's helpful too.
Five stars only.
Otherwise, let's just jump into it.
You could also steal your friend's cell phone and subscribe on behalf of your friend on their phone.
That's true.
It's a great...
That's even better than telling a friend.
It's kind of like a Christmas gift, but it's free, right?
That's absolutely right. We should recap. Who are your title picks?
So in the first two podcasts,
a lot of drama
way towards the end of it. I think I took the most obvious ones. I took Warriors over Spurs, Cavs over Celtics.
Uh-huh.
I already hate myself for making those picks, but I'm just going to stick with them.
Okay. I have Celtics over Cavs, which I actually feel better about now.
Boy.
And in talking it out with a couple people outside, I don't know. I just have a feeling. And I had a feeling when I said that I picked the Cavs to win the title. So that worked out. I also, after game one of the finals, demanded that Kyrie be benched for Delly. That take didn't age as well.
You get some strange, like 85-year-old man getting up out of bed feelings. Like, you get feelings in places that may stick, may not.
The more I think about it, the more I don't trust Kyrie to stay healthy for 8 months. And then the Celtics are going to be really good this year. So.
Deep, balanced offense, defense, all five positions covered. They're going to be a tough out.
Yeah, they could totally make the finals and get their asses kicked by the Warriors. So I think that's my pick. Other than that, we got 20 questions here.
Oh, God.
Let's jump into it.
Bring it.
Who will average more points, Steph or Durant? That's a good ESPN question.
I'm all in on Kevin Durant as their new alpha dog. Sorry, Steph. Take a seat.
We should reword it. Who's got better numbers? Because Steph could honestly go like 22 and 11.
Well, here's my counter to the counter. I think Draymond's going to lead them in assists. I think Draymond's going to be the facilitator.
Nope. That's a bad prediction.
Well, we'll see. I think Draymond's going to be the big-time facilitator. They're just going to run tons of pick and rolls with him and Steph, him and KD. He's going to be finding the open shooter and just racking up the assist numbers. I think KD's going to lead them in points. Because I think if I'm Kerr entering this season, my number one priority is get Kevin Durant comfortable. And I think you don't necessarily need to force feed him, but you need to make sure he eats first. And I think Steph, he can be that number one guy. He can have a ton of fun, but I don't think he necessarily needs it. I don't think he needs to have as many shots as he had last year. And
I don't think he cares.
I think he's a greater good type of guy. He'd rather everybody be happy and him sacrifice a little bit. I'm not saying Kevin Durant's selfish. Don't read that the wrong way.
Yeah.
I just think his points are going to come easier. And also, they're doing this minute staggering thing. They're going to be putting Kevin Durant out there against your, lottery team's second unit small forward. Like, good freaking luck.
The note that I saw about Kerr planning to use KD in Draymond's role as like a five.
Yeah.
That's insane.
They will just keep downsizing until they scare the pants
really,
off you.
I mean, I don't know how you even respond to that. Because Durant was kind of doing that in the series last year in the Thunder Warriors matchup. And his length really bothers people.
I said it last year. That was the best defense he's ever played. he is a completely different level of player when he's playing defense like that. Versatility off the charts, length off the charts. He's a better rebounder when they go small. It's just more opportunities for him out there. And if you force the other team's bigs off the court, all of a sudden, you know, he's really able to use that length to clear the glass too. And he can,
ridiculous.
Just like Draymond, he can grab and go. If you get a defensive rebound and you're playing a four or five as Durant, what's stopping you from walking into a 30 footer on the other end? You know, five dribbles and you're there.
Yeah. All right. Two more things on this. Now that I think about it, the one thing that Steph put up ridiculous numbers last year. But that wasn't a coincidence. The reason he did that was because they were much better when all the ball movement gave way to him just like going off and being ridiculous.
Yeah.
And
they still led the league in assist rate though.
They did, but they were not the same team when he was not on that like other planet. When he was averaging 25 versus 35, like it was a different team.
True.
So it'll be interesting to see how it works out on that front.
I don't think points is going to be a problem.
I don't think it's going to be an issue.
I think they're going to be just fine.
This is the only time during the podcast that we will manufacture any sort of drama.
Here's the
Warriors
thing. It's sort of like when the Sports Illustrated, when they spend millions on the swimsuit issue, you know, and they come back and they're like, okay, well, we got like 15K'd Upton shots. We got all this other model. I mean, it's an embarrassment of riches. Whoever makes the cover, they're going to be good. It's going to work out just fine.
That's true. The other thing I will say is that earlier today, in one of the videos that we did, you picked KD as your MVP.
Sure did. Feeling great about that.
I really, really like that pick.
Oh, you're trying to steal it.
The more I think about it.
Well, can we remind people who you picked as your MVP?
That was just to spice up the video, man. Okay. All right.
Sharp over here picks Karl Anthony Towns for his MVP.
Yeah. Well, people, we got into that. We have a standing bet on Kat. But the KD is like a real dark horse because he's going to put up ridiculous numbers. The Warriors should win 60 plus games. I don't think they're going to win 65, 68, whatever, but there's a decent chance like where MVP voting is now. A lot of it is analytics based. And there's a decent chance that we're going to look up in February and he's just going to be far and away the best player.
Here's my argument. Wise. I think we're going to see the most efficient, best version of Kevin Durant we've ever seen. So that's going to set up the argument. Well, if he won MVP 3 years ago with these numbers, and now he's more efficient and better, and he's on a better team, and they have the most wins, and they have the number one offense, he's the best player on the best
team.
That's
what I'm thinking.
You have to give it to him.
And the way media works now is people will almost like go out of their way to be like, yeah, I'm not going to penalize them for choosing the Warriors. I'm going to reward him for being the best player.
When you said media, you looked at me like, you're like you think I am the media.
No.
But look, here's another thing though. I don't think the resentment will stick to him quite the same way as with LeBron.
Yeah.
Because when the resentment really came around to LeBron in 2011, it was because, I think he was a cut above everyone else in the league in terms of pure talent. And it was clear with Kevin, he still hasn't won and he's chasing LeBron, right? So people can still justify it as like, he's doing what he has to do to win a little bit. Whereas with LeBron, it's he's a failure. He's cutting corners. I think it's just a different argument here than it was, you know, 5-6 years ago with LeBron. And I think that the people who cast their protest vote against LeBron, I think there's going to be less protest vote against KD.
Yeah. I like that. I like that pick. And he's 8-1 odds, which is pretty solid odds.
Take it to the house.
Yeah.
Just everybody, just buy yourself new houses. I told you here first. Just cut straight through it.
Second question. Will there be an NBA lockout? We can go pretty quickly on this.
I've been
rooted in speculation.
Yeah, I always fear monger. Uh-huh. And I'm always paranoid and completely convinced there's going to be a lockout. But they would not put out this many positive feelers this early.
Right.
If they were not going to take care of it. So I think there's a chance this thing's done real early. And it should be. The NBA is killing it right now, money-wise. Why would you stop anything? And I'm impressed. If the owners can hold themselves back from locking and squeezing the players even more, I mean, I'm almost surprised and impressed by that. It's like, good job. Put the greed to the side for once.
It's pretty cool. The game is in a good place. Yeah. And I think both Silver and Michelle Roberts, it would be like a point of pride for them to try and get this done.
Well, you know, one other thing they could always do is just put another opt-out, like not that long down the road. You know, like just milk this Warriors
2020.
Thing. Yeah, milk the Warriors thing for like 3 years, you know, see where it goes. And then...
Because I've been talking to people, they don't need to change the CBA a whole lot. They basically, the big screw up was not having a clause in there about TV money and having and making sure that it gets evenly distributed. But having like that's in the past, you're not going to be able to correct that by like turning the CBA upside down. So like the system as it is should work pretty well.
Players aren't complaining about the size of the contracts they're signing right now. I mean, the league has done so well these last couple of years where I think there's a serious pressure from both sides to keep that gravy train going. And if you're the owners and you redid the whole proportions, so you're almost near guaranteed profitability if you're a successful team, what do you have to complain about?
Yeah, it's a welcome change though, because feel like
the rhetoric
there's just
during the lockout.
No way this would happen under David Stern.
It's great.
All right, next question. Which NBA coach will be fired first?
Ooh, let me think on this for a second. You go first.
I hate to say it because I really like Fred Hoiberg, but I feel like he's one of the obvious guys.
Ooh, I like that.
And there are a lot of coaches around the league that are pretty entrenched. Like, you're not firing Stan. You're not firing Nate McMillan in year one.
Although, there's a lot of new first time coaches too, which is, you know, you're not like, going to get the guy fired 2 weeks after he gets hired. I mean, guys like Earl Watts and Luke Walton, I mean, you'd hope that they would get at least a month, you know.
We could look for like interpersonal issues with management. I don't know. Like Dave Yeager, he's fine.
Come on.
No, but I mean like that type of situation.
You're coming after him already?
He's fine in Sacramento. I don't know. Maybe there won't be a coach.
I don't really see a ton because a lot of the teams that are kind of like primed for having potential disappointments have first time coaches. So like,
what about
like Fizdale in Memphis? Like that's a job where you could have gotten fired if they started off really slow and the injury issues and blah, blah, blah. But he just got hired. So
Alvin Gentry in April.
I think Alvin Gentry's got to be on that list. And depending on, I mean, it could get really ugly there.
Well, because who knows who's even in charge?
Who knows who's even going to be on the court?
Yeah. You know? The Hoiberg thing, the one factor that works in his favor is he was Gar and Paxson's guy the entire time. So.
But he's also going to be their guy to push off the cliff. I mean, everybody sees that coming a mile away. Yeah. Like once this three alphas, quote unquote, doesn't work.
And I feel bad for him because Tibbs was like a religious figure in Chicago. and so none of the city like has given Hoiberg a chance.
Here's one. I don't think he's actually going to get fired, but there could be some hot seat talk. You know how you can always get me pissed off by saying the Jazz defeat expectations or like they're not living up to how good they should be. They really should be good this year.
Yeah,
management made a lot of moves in the summer.
I like the Jazz.
If they start slow and they don't look good and the offense is kind of ugly, I could see a scenario where Quinn Snyder starts to get some heat. And Quinn Snyder, I think, is a really good coach. I like his general philosophies, how he kind of turned them around after the Tyrone Corbin era and all that. I think he's under a little more pressure this season.
He should be.
I'm with you.
He should be.
Well, let's put the heat on him. Quinn, we're coming for you. We're coming for you, Quinn.
Here's my thing with Quinn Snyder is like everyone has assumed he's a good coach for the last 3 years. And, you know, they haven't really like had that season where everyone looks up and is like, wow, Utah's much better than we expected. Like,
you know what this reminds me of? It's kind of like the Dwayne Casey scenario. You can either be coach of the year or you can get fired.
Yeah.
Like, that is like the range. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Dwayne Casey is another one who's a good candidate, but I feel like after last year.
Yeah, that's interesting because he was on the hot seat like perennially for like 3 years. This is the first year he's not.
Well, he was getting publicly called out by Kyle Lowry, and then it all kind of just went away.
I think their defense is going to struggle this year. I think they're going to have some issues, and then it's going to be right back on the do they need a new voice thing?
More hot seats than expected. I think, if we were betting, I would probably bet on Dwayne Casey. Now that I think about
I think Hoiberg is the safe money.
Yeah.
Just because it's going to be so public.
He's so convenient.
Yeah. And it could go so wrong so quickly, you know?
All right.
And there's also a lot of big personalities in that locker room, very capable of going to management behind his back.
Who is this year's CJ McCollum?
We're talking about like breakout guy, most improved player type.
Yeah.
I think I'm looking at Oladipo. I know it's kind of a conventional pick, but we're talking about contract year, bigger role, small market team that really needs to keep as much talent as possible. So they're going to try to put him in a position to succeed, help him get his numbers. The thing with CJ, though, is he's such a good shooter that it's easier for him to create offense for himself. Oladipo doesn't really have that. But I do think Oladipo is definitely better going to the basket. And I think, you know, if you get him in this downhill attacking mode set up by Westbrook where you know, maybe he's getting more one-on-one situations. I think he's got a chance to put up significantly bigger numbers. And I think he's got a pretty high ceiling for what his scoring average could be. He's one guy I'm looking at.
Okay. I don't think it counts to say D'Angelo Russell because there's all kinds of hype around him and CJ McCollum kind of came out of nowhere. So I will go hardcore nerd and say Kentavious Caldwell-Pope will kind of break out for Detroit.
Can I say that I think he's going to be a lot better, but not in that same way?
Okay.
I don't necessarily see him as that offensive threat.
That's fair. Who will have a better season, Lance Stephenson or Dion Waiters?
Oh, boy. I think Dion Waiters, and that's pretty easy.
I'm in on Dion Waiters in Miami.
I'm not.
Really?
I just think he's going to be better than one of the worst players in the NBA.
I'm not. I think he can kind of help them more than people realize.
Well, the number one goal should be to tank so you get Markelle Fultz. I think he can help them do that.
No, man. Yes, they should probably tank, but Waiters, there's more there. He's better than the $4 million he's getting in Miami.
He's gonna be
very solid. He can handle the ball a little bit for them in a combo guard kind of way.
Yeah.
Lance Stephenson, I don't know. It really sort of peaked in 2013.
His career is passing
all
by.
Downhill from there.
It slipped away from him. I mean, it got away from him. The thing with the Waiters, though,
yeah.
I agree. He fills a need for them. I mean, definitely positionally. I like the idea of kind of him and Justice kind of playing side by side. That's a pretty physical pairing.
Mm-hmm.
He's just the kind of guy you want as the fifth best player in your starting lineup. That's who you want. You don't want him to be the second or third best player. You don't want him to be the second or third option. And, you know, is he going to be a guy who's going to get the most out of a Hassan Whiteside? You know, that's not really. I don't see that.
Yeah. I like that Waiters Island is now conveniently situated among the Florida Keys.
The Keys, yeah.
It's nice.
Good vacation destination.
Who will be the most surprised? Also, just a real volatile real estate market. It's perfect.
It's flooding because of a hurricane?
Yeah. Who will be the most surprising all-star this season?
That's a great question. I was looking at some potential.
This is the only question I showed you.
I was looking at some potential first-time All-Stars. Here's my list of guys. Uh-huh. And then let you tell me if I miss anybody and then if one of these surprises you more than the others. DeAndre Jordan, Karl-Anthony Towns, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Serge Ibaka, Eric Bledsoe, Gordon Hayward, Hassan Whiteside. I think that's the short list of first-time All-Stars.
Okay.
So, any of those guys really surprise you?
I think Hassan Whiteside would surprise a lot of people.
He would. I think he's... Well... That's
I think
the thing.
He's my choice.
Yeah, okay, that's a good choice. Because if they tank, he's not going to make it. Like, it'll just be one of
he
those,
might
like...
put up ridiculous numbers.
He
though.
Could.
Like, 25, 15, four blocks.
But if they're, like, 4-30, I mean...
I don't know, man. It's hard to turn down those numbers.
Yeah.
Devin Booker, I don't know if he qualifies as a
surprise. That would be
surprise.
A huge surprise. I don't see him in that conversation, though.
Yeah. The West is still pretty deep with guard talent.
I think I would be surprised, actually, if Karl Towns cracked through that front court West matchup. I mean, that would mean that they'd have to be 500 or above. It's very hard to make the All-Star team as a coach's selection if your team's not in the playoff picture. So I think I'd put Towns in that mix.
Mm-hmm.
I actually think it's probably more likely he makes the All-NBA team as opposed to the All-Star team, just because of the way the positions work.
Argument.
But it would be very cool if he was an All-Star this year. I mean, that would be a real crowning achievement. I remember when Anthony Davis, first time he made the All-Star team, it was like, holy cow, this guy's here. Anytime a guy that young makes it, that's a big deal.
Yeah. I think Towns is likely to make it. If anyone wants to go back and hear us yell about this, go back to our West preview. Next question.
I think Ibaka's got a good shot too, by the way.
Great. Perfect. Would you rather share a backcourt with Rajon Rondo
or
an Uber pool?
Uber pool.
With
I don't even know
Donald
what that
Trump.
Means. Oh my God.
I actually vetoed this question when they proposed it, but
I'm taking the Uber pool of Trump. I just feel like there's my life wouldn't be in my hands in the Uber pool situation, so I could probably live through it. And there's a decent chance something would happen where I would be able to have like a successful lawsuit that would make money out of that. So therefore, I'm taking that. I would not want to share a backcourt with Rajon Rondo.
Okay, I have a couple thoughts here. Number one. I would definitely take the Uber with Trump because I would love to know where that guy's head's at.
Yeah, right now.
Like,
for sure.
15 minutes, just a check in, you know?
Would you ask him what he thinks about the Timberwolves or like, what are your questions for
no,
Trump?
No, I don't know. We don't have to get into it, but I feel like he's really off the reservation to a degree that we haven't really seen yet. And anything is possible over the next 3 weeks. Also can't wait to get the election over with. But the other thing is people got to stop talking about Rondo like he's like a terrorist.
He's not a terrorist.
He's an okay point guard. He's not like would the Knicks be better with Derrick Rose or Rajon Rondo?
No.
Come on. Look, Rondo
the
is
answer
fine.
Is no. You don't want either one of those guys as your point guard. If you have
Rondo
either one of those,
is fine. No, he's not a basketball terrorist.
Sacramento has decided to just not field point guards this year rather than bring Rajon Rondo back. That's how bad it got.
Whatever. You know what? I'm still on Rondo Island.
Well, tell me, make the case. Last year was a tough year for Rondo backers.
No. I think he's fine. His game has kind of fallen off a little bit, but he's not.
A lot.
Yeah, game fallen off.
Collapsed.
A little bit, probably understating it.
Imploded.
No, but he can still distribute. He can still help. Like, I think if he, one of the issues is that he is more of a stat chaser now than he was like 5 years ago when he was actually good. So that's not declining skills plus more stat chasing is not a great combo. But he is he's still serviceable in a way that I don't think is reflected in the public discourse at the moment.
Yeah, I think that at his best, he's serviceable. I think my biggest problem with him at this point, in addition to the stat chasing that you're mentioning, is really that when their season gets away from him, like whenever his teams just are not in it, his focus and attentiveness really slacks off. Defensively, decision-making, it just gets to the point where his effort level and setting the tone as a point guard should just isn't there. And that's why I kind of feel like in a lot of cases, he does more harm than good.
Okay, fine. He's not basketball Trump, all right?
I'm not saying that. And I will not. He's not a terrorist.
Yeah. What are your top three league pass teams?
Well, so there's always this debate about what qualifies as a league pass team because some of these guys are on national TV so much, right? Uh-huh. So are we taking those, like the Warriors, Cavs, and Clippers, are we just going to throw those out because they're always on TV? I think from an entertainment value perspective, the top three teams this year are Warriors, Cavs, Clippers in that order.
All right. Then we should mix it up a little bit.
Okay.
What are your actual league pass teams?
I think the Blazers should be in that mix.
Okay.
People might say that's a homer pick from Portland. Usually I love downgrading
it's
the Blazers.
It's not a homer pick. You hate on the Blazers constantly.
But they got to be in this mix, right? I mean, amazing offense, big time star power in Lillard and McCollum now.
Uh-huh.
They've really improved their depth. They got guys at all five positions. The fits are kind of weird sometimes, but they know their system. Everybody buys in, clear pecking order, a great crowd, you know? So you got a lot of reasons to like them. I think your Timberwolves, you know, your little buddy Timberwolves, they got to be on that list as well. And then I guess we're probably not putting the Celtics on this list. I think the Celtics are going to be very watchable this year. I think both from a casual fan standpoint and then also like the hardcore, like guys who cheer for Al Horford and, you know.
Yeah. I also enjoy the Celtics court. It's nice to look at, which isn't true for a lot of courts around the league. And you get some Hindson.
Tommy points?
Yeah, I can always use some Tommy points. My top three are, I had actually forgot about the Wolves. But the Wolves, the Blazers, I love the Blazers. We've talked about it on the pod before, but like late night East Coast Blazers is the best. Because Dame just goes nuts and McCollum is great too now. And Evan Turner, like, they didn't need Evan Turner to make them a premier league pass destination, but Evan Turner helps too because watching his adventures is always great. And then the third team, I think I'm going to say Pistons.
Wait, what about the Rockets?
Oh.
Might be the Rockets. Man. I think the answer is the Rockets, actually. I think the Rockets might have flipped their whole swag harder than everybody because they were so depressing and like demoralizing to watch last year. But they could be amazing. Like their ceiling on entertainment value is very high.
They will be amazing if Harden cuts out all the bullshit drives where he's he's hurling himself at the rim so, just to draw a foul.
That will never happen. He's never going to cut that out.
So I'm not ready to put them in my top three because I'm just like, you know what? I can live without watching 18 free throws from James Harden.
Fair.
Who are your bottom three league pass teams? Should be fairly easy.
Well, dead last got to be the Brooklyn Nets. Yes. I mean, they're just a disaster. I mean,
the Nets should be like closed circuit broadcast or broadcast exclusively in prisons.
Infomercials. Yeah, I'd say they're 30. I think 29 this year, honestly, is the Orlando Magic, like second to last.
I'm with you.
Just because I think they're going to be good. They're just going to be very uninspiring and so defensive oriented that it will just not be fun or entertaining. It'll just be kind of like
it's also like you watch it and you're just really frustrated and can't understand how this happened to Mario Hezonja. You want to do something, but then you feel powerless.
Yeah.
And you're just sitting there wondering what it all means. You know?
Yeah. And then you also start to realize that all these guys who are basically not getting the minutes and the right roles in 6 months will be traded. So you're kind of nagged by the fact that some of these guys are going to be saved, but they haven't been saved yet.
I like how you just rolled with my existential Hezonja crisis.
Well, trust me, it's not the first time you've had
totally.
That one. I got one more though.
Okay.
Denver Nuggets.
I can't get down with that.
All right.
I think the Nuggets are consistently fun. But I understand.
How many games did you watch of this?
I watched
a
lot of Nuggets last year. Yeah. If we're being truthful, I watched more Nuggets League Pass than almost anyone but the Blazers, probably.
Wow. What did you learn from
weird.
That?
I'm not going to like stand by that decision proudly, but it just happened.
That seemed like a really bad move.
Weird things happen on League Pass. My
altitude sports.
Yeah.
Well, don't you hate when they get bumped to like Route 6?
Oh, you know what it was? Is I love Yusuf Nurkic and I kept expecting him to come back. Like he came back and you get like 10 minutes a night and it didn't work out. Anyways.
Yeah. Do you know what I think of the Nuggets? They're the team that basketball Twitter, quote unquote, is trying too hard to like.
Okay.
They're trying to make them a thing. They're not a thing. They don't have a bunch of positions covered. They've got some guys who are going to be really good in 3 years. They've got a lot of guys who are just blah and are just placeholders. They've hit a bunch of B's in the draft, but they just never have been able to hit that A plus where they got the franchise guy. So they're kind of just spinning and
yeah,
I don't know.
All right. My three are Nets, Knicks. Every time I watch the Knicks, I like Carmelo too much to watch him stuck there. I like Porzingis the same way. And I like the Knicks. I want them to be good. So watching them in this current like weird state is I'm just out.
It hurts you.
Hornets.
Tell me more.
I could not care less about the Charlotte Hornets, respectfully. And so those are my three.
What about this might hit a little too close to home, but what about the Sixers?
The Sixers will be like pretty high on League Pass solely because of Embiid.
But he's going to play 12 minutes a month. I mean,
No. I think he might get minutes. And obviously if he doesn't, then there's nothing to really watch.
Yeah.
Saric is not going to be that great. But I think Saric will probably be in the mix for rookie of the year. But if Embiid's playing, like it's fascinating to watch him because he's so big in the current game that it's like.
Yeah. He pops for sure.
Yeah. It's a weird dynamic. Yeah, so I'm excited for the Sixers. Which retired player will be more entertaining this season? Kobe or Duncan?
Well, come on.
I didn't write the questions,
that's,
man.
That's an we idiotic
could throw
question.
In, we could throw in KG.
Well, that gets more interesting because it kind of feels like we haven't heard the last of Kevin Garnett, right? Like, couldn't he pop up as an assistant coach or a commentator? Maybe
he also
like
has like $300 million. Who knows?
Oh, so you're saying he could go way off the map?
Yeah.
Go buy his own island?
Sure.
I think we're going to be hearing from Kobe. I mean, I saw his like face mask was being sold on eBay again or something auctioned off. There's just always Kobe things going on, you know.
Yeah.
I think Kobe Inc. is going to be alive. Well, he's going to, of course, probably have a black and white documentary, Charlie Chaplin style silent film.
Kobe might be the all-time leader in documentaries.
Oh, it's coming.
I think we're on our fourth or fifth documentary 100%. At this point.
So I think we're probably going to see some Instagrams of his Halloween costumes. He'll probably dress up like Harry Potter or something like that. You know, he's always going to just be in the mix.
Yeah.
Duncan, he's gone. And you're not going to find him unless you want to get your car tuned at in Central Texas. You're not going to find him. Because you know he has his own shop, right?
I know. Somebody should do that. I forget what it's called. Oh,
it's called Blackjack, right?
Yeah, do that. We should send you down to get a tune-up at Blackjack.
My Ford Fusion gets him.
I don't think they do tune-ups. I think they only like trick out
tinted windows.
So maybe you can get a rental car tricked out.
My Ford Fusion to get tinted windows, hydraulics, and an oil change.
Okay, so here is another question that I should have read. Better NBA career, Joel Embiid, Nerlens Noel, Jahlil Okafor.
Well, we know who we can just take off right off the top.
You're just vicious to Okafor.
I mean, Okafor, better NBA career. Like, is it still going or is he out yet?
Yeah, I don't know, man. Who's more likely to average 20 points and 8 rebounds? Okafor?
I don't know.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't know. Does that mean better, though? I mean, like, are we considering a guy like Greg Monroe to have a good career?
When I said the NBA media, you just like hate on good basketball players. Okafor could be really good somewhere.
In a different version of the sport, he's good.
Yeah.
But in the version of the sport that we're watching and covering, he's not good.
So it really does come down to Embiid or Noel, though.
I mean, I think the safe money is on Noel because he doesn't have that far to go from who he is now to being a really useful version that's like almost like a max guy, right?
Yeah.
Embiid, I think, clearly has the highest ceiling, like not even close. Like I think Embiid's ceiling is like 3 times higher than the other two guys' ceiling. I think Okafor, I mean, I think he basically is who he is. Like I think the best case scenario for Okafor is that one day he wins Sixth Man of the Year.
Yeah.
Like he's like a sort of a maybe a more polished and all around version of an Enes Kanter.
Yeah.
And so
if he gets a jump shot, like,
so that's not terrible, but I think, you know, like Embiid theoretically still has Hall of Fame ceiling, right?
Yeah.
So Sixth Man of the Year, Hall of Fame.
You're not making a pick.
I'm taking this Noel.
Okay. Fair enough. I will take Embiid just because it'd be pretty hilarious if he turned out to be awesome. Although Noel,
you should pick Okafor.
Like the rough outline of like a Joakim Noah type career for Nerlens, and he's just been lost in Philly. And people, there's like not enough.
Save him, life raft for Nerlens.
They seriously like he could be really good. Look, if he lands with a team that will like keep him on the right track.
One of my little fetishes is centers who get blocks and steals. And Noel is like in that squad.
The weirdest fetishes.
And nice. I think for that reason, that's why I like him of those three. But I think I'm ceding to you Embiid, gigantic ceiling. I just don't think he's going to do it.
Will Chris Bosh play at all this season?
This is just like, do you have a heart or do you not have a heart? That's this question.
Okay.
Like basically like, are you a nice person who wants to give him the benefit of the doubt? Or are you just a horrible person who says he's never going to be healthy?
Okay.
I'm a horrible person.
So you don't think he's going to be healthy?
Don't think so.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I don't think he's going to play this season. I do think it is really addictive to imagine him on rosters around the league.
Oh, yeah. Can you imagine? What if LeBron calls him up? Like, what if
they
buy him out and like
Cleveland
whatever it is?
The obvious one.
See, that's the thing. If they buy him out, whatever, February, March, however that would work.
Yeah.
And then now he's just on the open market and, you know, Golden State and Cleveland are sending their recruiting pitches. You know, Golden State's got the virtual reality headsets. You can come play center on the... Imagine that. Imagine if he's their center instead of Zaza.
That would be...
Oh, my God.
Pretty brutal to LeBron. I don't think their relationship would recover after that one.
Well, I mean, imagine that for the Cavs, though, if he's their starting center. I mean, holy cow.
Yeah. No, and I've also kind of wanted him on the Clippers for a long time.
Yeah.
And if he were to come off the bench to play 20 minutes for the Clippers.
You think he'd be an upgrade over Brandon Bass?
just a little bit. Just a little bit. So, I don't know. I totally get why doctors around the league are like, look, if there's even a 20% chance that you could, like, have a heart attack, or like, don't play.
Yeah.
And he's getting paid regardless. So he'll be okay, and he's had a great career.
Well, you know what's crazy about Bosh, though? This is a real thing about his value. Remember how we were talking about transferability of, like, guys in the top 100 who could go from team to team? he could play for Boston and be awesome. He could play for Houston and be a huge asset. All the teams that you already mentioned, he could play for San Antonio and be literally any team that's anywhere close to the championship conversation. Bosch would plug in perfectly, fit, yeah, and help.
That's why it's so much fun to sort of dream him into situations.
So when people talk about him, like his legacy, dude's a Hall of Famer. If he never plays another game, Hall of Famer to me.
I think so. That's certainly the mood. Which star should the Celtics trade for?
Well, I'm kind of onto my new pet idea that they should try to steal Paul Millsap. I kind of like this idea.
It's Millsap could very, like, if the Hawks season goes the wrong way the first few months, Millsap's available.
Here's my argument. Basically, it comes down to everybody talks about DeMarcus Cousins as like the top 10 or 15 guy who is available, right? When you look at those top 10 or 15 guys, hardly any of them are ever going to be traded in a million years, yeah, right? Like, it's even harder to kind of like see Jimmy Butler getting traded. With Millsap, because of the conditions in Atlanta, where
I need you to keep in mind that Paul Millsap is not a top 15 player,
is, though.
Just because you ranked him there.
No, he is.
But it's fine.
No, he clearly is.
Okay.
You know what else he does? Gets steals and blocks.
He's great.
So he is definitely a top 15 player. This year with the injury and all that, maybe he takes a small step back. But perfect fit in their front court. Big time upgrade. Would definitely help against the Cavaliers in terms of matchups. Would help them go super small if they wanted. And I think, you know, experienced, and it, mostly it's a situational thing though, because Atlanta is changing gears so rapidly, it might not work. And then he's a free agent. So then does he want to be part of a situation that's changing so much, or does he want to go handpick a contender, hop on with them and then re-sign with them, and have kind of a better golden era to his career? You know, I mean, he's kind of winding down a little bit. This next contract's going to be his last big one.
The Celtics just stealing the good parts of the Hawks would be pretty ruthless.
It would be fantastic. And remember, the best part about the Horford signing for them is that it was free. It didn't cost them any of their draft picks, right?
Yeah.
Now they can use the draft picks to go steal Paul Millsap.
I think if I were running the Celtics, I would hold off and make a run this year and recognize that I don't know if there's any move out there that makes a difference against the Warriors. So wait until this summer.
Paul George
could be available. At the same time, like, Markel Fultz could be available, depending on how awful the Nets are. And I'd hold off on trading for anybody.
I would give the Celtics with Paul Millsap just about as good of a chance as the current Cavaliers as beating the Warriors in the finals. Yeah, I think it would be very close.
Well, okay.
So I'm just saying, like, they have motivation to go do that.
But I don't
think... And that's why I want to see that happen.
Yeah, I don't think this current Cavs are going to be that close against the Warriors. Do you?
Yeah. I mean,
last year was essentially a 5-game series until all hell broke.
No, I would take the Warriors, but I don't think it's like a 90% chance that they win. I think there's some cracks in the armor.
All right.
And especially because KD is owned by LeBron. We can only repeat that so many different times.
Right.
LeBron owns KD.
What will be the most regrettable contract handed out this summer?
Oh, that's a good question.
It's probably not healthy that my first thought was Bradley Beal.
You know, and it's probably not healthy that my first thought was that your first thought was going to be Bradley Beal. We're getting the hive mind going. I mean, that's not great. Allen Crabb, some of the Blazers deals, at least one of those is going to look really bad, right?
That's a good answer. Allen Crabb for $80 million. What did he actually get? $70
million? Yeah, you know, it was close to 80. It was almost 20 a year, I believe. I think it might have been 78. I think Ryan Anderson and Eric Gordon.
Yeah,
one or both of those is going to wind up looking bad.
Mine would be Ryan Anderson, because Ryan Anderson has been quietly declining for like 2 years now. And I think he has like one solid year. Allen Crabb, $74 million for Allen Crabb. So Ryan Anderson is my pick. Because it's the back end of that deal is not going to look great. And you know what? That was a win for the Wizards. That was a big win this summer, because basically...
Wait, what about your boy Parsons?
Parsons is in the mix. I'm just really glad that Horford led the Wizards on long enough to keep them from signing Ryan Anderson. Will Wade regret going to Chicago? I don't think he will. I really think that he is in a good spot, and they're not going to win basketball games, but he will be happy, and... when I say they're not going to win, it's not going to be like a contender, but they'll be like middle of the road. He'll be happy. His other options were like not getting paid by Pat Riley and just sort of sticking around the Heat, pissed off.
Being disrespected.
Milwaukee or Denver. And all things considered, going home to Chicago and just being like a community icon for 2 years is not bad.
I think Wade's actually in a pretty nice spot because he's kind of flying above the rain clouds. Like,
yeah.
There's not going to ever be a situation where Wade's getting blamed, right?
Right. His legacy is done.
Let's say he falls
not
off
on the line.
If he falls off a cliff, they blame the front office.
Exactly.
If he doesn't have as good of numbers as last year, they blame Rondo.
Yeah.
And there's a million different ways. Or they blame Hoiberg. There's so many fall guys before they get around to blaming Dwayne Wade for anything.
Yeah.
That, yeah, he can just kind of cash his checks. And, you know, everyone will also say, well, what did you expect from Dwayne Wade at this point of his career? You know, he's almost got the out. So from that standpoint, I think he's living pretty good.
Who's the most overhyped team on Twitter?
The most overhyped team on Twitter. I mean, I would have to probably put the Bucks into that mix. I think the internet just seems to love those guys. And I mean, I would also put the Sixers into that mix too. I mean,
the Sixers have a real vocal minority.
I mean, people they really think that they're a good team. I mean,
shout out to Michael Levin, former roommate, and Spike Eskin. They are, yeah, the Sixers definitely get a lot of hype. That's a great answer.
I would say the Knicks are probably in the mix too. Knicks fans are pretty loud. I don't know if basketball Twitter loves them so much though, so maybe they don't get overrated, but they get over-discussed.
I like the Knicks though, because most of the people I follow at least are like pretty self-loathing.
Here's another one that
I connect with that.
It's going to anger you a little bit. I think the Timberwolves got to be in that conversation too.
That's a great call.
Because they could be a year away still.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. We all know it's going to happen. It's just about when.
I'm with you. I mean, I still think I'm right about Karl Towns, but it is weird that like everyone has decided that Karl Towns is just ready to take over the NBA.
Yeah.
I'm sticking with the Sixers though. That's a good call. Who will be the most surprising player in trade talks this year?
Surprising player in trade talks. Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, I don't think any of the really, really big names are going to be there quite yet. I mean, you could get some early Paul George nibbles if the Pacers don't quite work out. You know, I think maybe Blake Griffin. To me, that would still be surprising. I mean, I know he's been in those kinds of rumors.
Yeah.
But I think the way that this offseason kind of played out is that trading him right now would not make sense. So if he did wind up in trade talks, I would be surprised about that. I think I'm going to go with Blake Griffin.
Okay.
Here's an interesting one.
What
about DeMar DeRozan?
I guess.
Like the instant regret Masai Ujiri, like Nene type trade where they sign him. It's like a gigantic contract. They give it 3 months and then they're like,
send
get rid of him.
Brooklyn for Rondae Hollis Jefferson. Sure. I would.
That would surprise people.
The one John Wall could absolutely end up in a couple trade talks.
You really think so?
I don't think he would get traded, but like, I don't think he's untouchable anymore.
What about Anthony Davis?
No.
Did he force his way out?
No. And actually, now that I think about it, the current front office, John Wall shouldn't necessarily be untouchable, but yeah. The current front office in DC wouldn't do that.
What about Jabari Parker?
Jabari Parker, yes. And in fact, I would imagine that they've gotten calls before and haven't hung up.
Wow.
I mean, I'm not speaking like an insider there, but Jabari is good enough for other teams to be interested, but he's not good enough for the Bucks to pretend that like there's just no way.
Like he's untouchable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So questions. Got three more questions here. Who would win in a fight, Draymond Green or Blake Griffin?
I don't think I'd bet against Draymond Green in too many fights. Like I think Snapchat proved like he'll go low. Like
I guess. I think Blake might be ready to snap, though. Although maybe that
the
was
rage
what
factor
last year. I think Blake. No, Blake has too much to lose, man. He's got like a great life. You know, he's in the entertainment business. He's like,
see, here's how I look at it. I think Blake would win. Like, if you had like a decathlon, mm-hmm. I think Blake would be way up there.
Among
NBA players,
yeah.
And like decathlon and like overall athleticism, et cetera, et cetera. If we're talking just like pure like Greco-Roman wrestling, I don't know so much about.
Can I say I would choose Chris Paul over both of them?
Wow.
Chris Paul is diabolical.
So you're saying that he
absolutely pulls some crazy shit to really tilt things.
yeah, there's a little Trump to him where like you don't know if you want to shake his hand afterwards kind of thing.
No, look, I'm not here to ever compare NBA players to Trump, but there is definitely like he will take the gloves off.
All right.
So Chris Paul is my answer to that question. If you could write the biography of any coach in the NBA, who would you choose?
The biography?
Yeah. So basically that means like spending a couple weeks.
Well, I think there's
hearing their life story.
There's exactly one right answer to this question.
Okay, who?
Greg Popovich. I mean, if you really could do the inside pop definitive, because remember we sent, I think it was Jack McCallum to San Antonio to do a profile about him and he just refused to participate. You got a legendary Hall of Fame writer. I'm pretty sure I got that story right. Yeah. And he ended up writing a profile of Pop that like didn't include any interviews with Pop because Pop like refused to be a part of it. So if you could actually line it up.
That's a great call.
Where you get all the access to Pop. You're at the wine cellar with him picking out like the 1946 vintage, whatever. You're hearing his strategy sessions with his coaches, how he's mentoring the players, what makes him tick. If you get him off the record, you know, kind of in his own element, really discussing life.
That's solid.
It's sort of like a Bill Walton thing where it would just write itself. Like you would just have to transcribe. You wouldn't have to do any writing.
The one thing, I wonder how much of his biography would have to be redacted. You know, like I think there's a decade or two in there.
Like, because he's got CIA secrets or something?
Yeah, like maybe not a decade, but there were definitely like 4 or 5 years where he was very, very much off the grid. The first person I thought of was Tyronn Lue.
Oh, wow. Well, he had a good story. I mean, you know, shouting out his small town of Missouri after they won the title. And
I've heard from a lot of people that he's just like really cool.
Yeah.
And apparently, yeah.
He has a great manner. I mean, going from Blatt to him, like.
Yeah, like he's definitely, he was like a social ringleader on some of those teams. And like guys were very impressed with some of the like the people he dated. Tyronn Lue, like kind of a fringe NBA player, like did pretty well for himself.
Okay, you're taking this biography a different direction.
No, I'm just saying, I bet he's got a really cool story and he's just like a really thoughtful dude. So, but I also did not think of Popovich when I saw this question. So yeah. Is there anyone else?
Well, I think, you know,
I'd like to just like be best friends with Stan Van Gundy.
Yeah, Stan Van Gundy's a great answer. I mean, Doc Rivers has got to be in there too. Like when he's opened up, when he was talking about the death of his mom, when he was talking about his house getting burned down and that apparently racist incidents back during his playing career. I mean, there's a lot of material there. So I think from a writer's standpoint, like you probably go into a Doc Rivers biography feeling like this is going to be an 800-page book and like you're going to have to cut it down to like 400, you know?
Yeah. All right, last question. Who is the NBA's least valuable player this year?
The least valuable player. That's tricky. I mean, I would actually say that Derrick Rose has a shot at it.
He was my choice.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Well, because the way that I view it, like you have to look at contract, you have to look at role and minutes, and then like they're guys who can't be benched, right?
Yep.
So I think that Kobe was a really strong argument last year, especially because the whole thing is revolving around him. He's not playing defense, very inefficient shooting. The team can't move on without him. So he's damaging his team in a lot of different ways. I personally loved watching Kobe a lot of times last year just because his press conferences were unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a lot to like.
The final game was just a straight up hallucination.
Unbelievable.
Like, I can't believe that really happened.
Phil Jackson peyote dream, right?
Yeah.
But I think in terms of the overall damage, like he's really strongly in that conversation. I think Rose has the potential to be doing all of those things for the Knicks this year. I mean, really inefficient shooting, no defense. You can't really bench him. I mean, how does he react?
You know what? The flip side, though, Brandon Jennings is going to be a lot of fun.
Okay.
So Rose will probably miss time and whatever and be depressing. But behind every Derrick Rose, there's a Brandon Jennings.
Yeah. It's tricky because what happens? Like you try to bench him. Jeff Hornacek, who just got run out of Phoenix by Markieff Morris, tries to bench Derrick Rose. How's that going to play?
I don't think Derrick Rose has a lot of people like excited to rep for him at this point.
Yeah, it's been a couple of tough weeks for him.
But all right. Brandon Jennings, you know?
Who else would you
look on the bright side on this podcast?
Who else would you put into this mix of
I don't
of
know.
Least
this, valuable? Is, this is hour three. I'm ready for basketball to start. My wife is also texting me asking where I am. So let's wrap it up. We will be recording definitely every Monday and probably some more podcasts throughout the year. And thank you for listening.
Yeah. Anybody who made it through all three of these podcasts, we appreciate you. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes, rate us 5 stars only, only positive reviews. We have fragile egos and we'll look forward to talking to you all season long, right?
Yeah.
Another great edition of Open Floor is in the books. Did you know Locked On has a daily podcast for all 30 NBA teams? If you're a Lakers fan, search Locked On Lakers. A Celtics fan, search Locked On Celtics. Warriors fans, search Locked On Warriors. Yes, all 30 NBA teams have a daily bite-sized podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network. Search on Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts for Locked On, your favorite team. Or tell your smart speaker to play podcasts Locked On, your favorite team.
It's the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.